Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 384. If you'd like a copy of it, Sharon will tell you four different ways that you can receive one. Please identify which copy you would like, either a CD or an audio tape copy. It's paid for completely free of charge, including the postage and handling. I've got some music. I've got a very strong message regarding walking, how to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, how to walk in the Spirit, how to walk according to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. This means if you're going to do that, you have to be completely filled with the Holy Spirit. You can't argue with God. You can't argue with God's elect. Because that shows that you're not in the Spirit. And a lot of people do that today. And so we're going to go up to the throne of the Lord now, and we're going to ask the Lord to anoint this service. Father, we thank and praise your wonderful holy name for your Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that you will lead, guide, and direct this service by your Spirit, that the souls in this world will be able to receive the actual guiding, the guidance, to receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and they'll be able to receive what the meaning of chapter 8 of the book of Romans means, that we need to, it's absolutely essential to walk after the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And this involves us being completely filled to the brim, to the top, with the Holy Spirit. Father, I ask that you do this to lead this service and show the world and the church the full account of the meaning of your word, that the souls may be saved in the church, strengthened, and made powerful, and made to walk completely after the fullness of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to walk in the Spirit. I ask it, Father God, in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Now, we have to continue on to the end in being filled with the Spirit, because when we get out of the Spirit, it's just, there's no possible way that you can rule the world. And this was the intention of the Lord Jesus Christ in the very beginning. He created man, Adam and Eve, to rule the world by his word, not with guns, bullets, and bombs, or murdering anyone, including children, babies, but to rule the world by his Spirit, which is the word of God. In the beginning, the Word was always there. In the beginning, the Word was always there. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, was there. And the Lord created us that we should be containers of Him, filled to the brim with God, and that our minds, our hearts, our souls, the Spirit will be on Him. We must be filled with the Spirit, or we'll never be able to right on with Jesus to the end. We have to continue on in the Spirit. Those that do will be saved. Those that don't will not be saved. Here's Peg Springman to sing for you, Right On, King Jesus.
Hinder me, right on, King Jesus. No man can hinder me. I was but young when I begun. No man can hinder me. Now my race is almost done. No man can hinder me. Ride on, King Jesus. No man can hinder me. Ride on, King Jesus. No man can hinder me. King Jesus rides a milk-white horse. No man can hinder me. The river of Jordan he did cross. No man can hinder me.
Praise the Lord. Chapter 1 of Genesis tells us the will of God at creation. He tells us that he wanted us to have rule, dominion over the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, the cattle, the creeping things, and over the entire world. And he wants us to guard the garden. Now, maybe you've never said the same thing. Maybe you've never preached the gospel, but I like saying the same thing that God says, because the Bible said if we preach the word, the things God said, then we will draw all men unto him. As I was mentioning in the service yesterday, where you will do anything to receive the Holy Spirit. In other words, to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to be led by the Holy Spirit so that Satan doesn't derail you on a daily basis. I don't like people to watch over my shoulder when I'm reading or studying. I just don't like it. And so, you know, it's... And the Holy Spirit does want you to put your focus on him. Amen?
Amen.
Maybe you've never... even thought of such a thing as doing anything to receive the Holy Spirit. That's why God loved Jacob, because he did things that were totally even out of order, but the Lord loved him because he wanted the promise. He believed the covenant, the promises of God. And through him, we receive all things by faith. So if you have faith, you'll receive the Holy Spirit. Maybe you've never even thought of such a thing, that you'd leave everything to follow the Lord if he told you to do that. But if you know that it is absolutely essential, then you will be willing to say to the Lord, "Oh Jesus, let me be filled with the Holy Spirit." This is, you know, the way that you receive the Holy Spirit is to want it. You have to want the things of the Lord in order to receive them. And if you don't ask, you're not going to receive. And some people ask, but they ask as though they're not really going to receive it. That means that you don't really have faith in the Lord. By faith, we're saved, and by doubt, we're damned. Oh, Lord, let me be filled with your Holy Spirit. I will give up anything and everything to receive the Holy Spirit. Do you want the Holy Spirit that bad? Well, if you don't, that's why you don't have it. That's why you don't have any victory. I'll do anything. I'll give up anything and everything to receive the Holy Spirit that you have prepared, that you have for me. You want to give it to me millions of times more than everybody in the world wants to receive it. Give me enough strength to totally surrender to you. Everybody, if you really want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, must examine yourself. The Bible says that we're supposed to judge ourselves by the Word of God. And if we have the Spirit and we know the Word, we're able to judge all things, but not by our own judgment. That's why the Lord says, judge not. What he's talking about is judge not with our own judgment, but use the Word of God to judge all things. And Paul says, dare any of you go to court with the unsaved, to the uncircumcised Gentiles? I'm talking about circumcision of the heart. Some have never thought it a necessity to do it, to examine yourself by the Word of God. What you do is you pick up the Word of God and read it and compare the kind of life that you're living in comparison to what the Word of God says for you to live. Some have never understood what it means when Jesus said that unless a man hates father and mother and wife and children and houses and lands and forsake them for his sake and the gospels, he is not worthy of him. Why people just turn away from the gospel for that, because they love their mother and father and sister and brothers and sons and daughters and wives. Yes, you do. The Lord isn't telling you to forsake them, but if they're trying to stop you from serving the Lord, you're to first utterly forsake them for the Lord. Surely, this is the reason for your lack of victory over sin, Satan, and the world. Is because you refuse. When people are saying, well, don't go into the gospel because it's really not true, or don't get involved with this church, and therefore you join a cult, like the Roman Catholic cult, so that you can be acceptable to the world. Now, the world accepts Vaticanites, Roman Catholics, because everything they do is like political, and even the mafia accepts them, but they don't accept the Lord. The reason that the Holy Spirit does not fill your being is that you have never forsaken all, everything, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So a second thing is to consider is they were not only men who had forsaken all to follow Jesus, but they were interesting, attached. They were very, very much attached to Jesus. Jesus has said, quote, if you love me, then what? He says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter. He'll fill you with the Holy Spirit. It's impossible to receive the Holy Spirit unless you keep the commandments. In order to keep the commandments, you have to forsake everything, utterly forsake the world and all the lust therein. I know that my mother said, the Bible says she was an alcoholic, and she wanted me to give her some money, and I wouldn't because I knew that she'd kill herself. The doctor said if she drinks any more alcohol, she'll kill herself, that she'll actually be murdering herself, and so I wouldn't. Then she quoted her own scripture to me saying, the Bible says that if you're a man of God, you're supposed to support your mother. And I told her, no, the Bible says to leave your mother and father and cleave unto your husband or your wife, okay? And you two become one flesh. There's nothing closer than the union between a man and wife and the Creator. A son, a daughter is not closer than a married couple and the Lord. A mother or father is not. Our real father is the Lord God Almighty. Amen?
Amen.
Well, this is a hard saying for a lot of people because they don't read the Bible. And when they read it, they absolutely refuse to do it. And that's why they're struggling every day, and they're not able to, they don't have the comforter to comfort them through all the hard knocks in this life. But there's an, quote, if with it. If you do that, I am your friend if you keep all my commandments, all of them. Well, if, he says, all those that are not with me are against me. And if you're against the Lord, you're not going to win. That's just, nobody's ever been able to win a bout with the Lord. When people attack God and God's children, something terrible is going to happen to you, especially those that really believe the Word of God, that are filled completely to the top with the Holy Spirit. You see people arguing, attacking the people of the Lord, and especially the ones that the Lord has chosen in supernatural ways. You've got yourself a real demon there. That's what it is. Now, people, they say, well, we don't like what you... It doesn't make any difference. I don't care whether you... And you shouldn't care either if people like you. You should be concerned as to whether God likes you or not. Amen?
Amen.
So if you do that, and they did love him, his disciples, intensely. They had seen him crucified, but their hearts could not be separated from him. They had no hope or joy or comfort on earth without him. And this is what is so often lacking among people that call themselves Christians. We trust Jesus, those of us that are, you know, of the Lord, are filled with the Spirit, and his work on Calvary. We trust that that was enough work that he did on Calvary to wash away all of our sins and clean us so that the Holy Spirit, so that God will fill us with his Holy Spirit if we ask and seek it with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that we forsake everything in this world. He will definitely give you a new relationship with him that you've never experienced before or you never believed possible. It's impossible to receive what kind of relationship the Lord will give unto you if you will forsake all and follow him. So I trust the Lord Jesus and the work that he did on Calvary. I trust him as my only Savior. That is sufficient to bring me salvation. But, and there's always a but, you have to watch out. There is a relationship of an intense, close, personal attachment to Jesus and fellowship with him on an everyday basis. The relationship that means that Jesus, the unseen one, however I've seen him with my eyes wide open in a vision he gave me, I know he's alive. I saw him, and he was attempting to speak to me, but it was like a radio going off and on. There was an oval-shaped mirror that came into this very dark bedroom. There was no light in it whatsoever. and this stick of smoke, or it looked like a cloud, came into the room and formed itself into a mirror with a golden frame around it, oval-shaped, and he was sitting in the mirror talking to me. But I couldn't hear what he was saying, and I really wasn't reading the Bible. The Lord wanted me to be an end-time prophet in these last days, a preacher, a teacher of his word. It was like he was my friend. He liked me. And is my friend, and he guides and keeps me all the day long, every day. He's going to be my leader, and he has been my leader and my master, whom I obey. But how few understand these things, these truths. The same thoughts of his. Who has the same thoughts of the Lord? Those that do have the thought of God, the thought of Christ. And God, those that have the thought of God, of Christ, they are the ones that God fills to the brim with his Holy Spirit. We must be filled with his Holy Spirit. This is one of the strange elements of teaching the Bible. There have been several times in my ministry that I have met young people, won many thousands of them to the Lord, but missionaries that would come out to our church and talk to me, to Sue and myself, and spoke so often of the blessing that he or she received when he or she came to terms with the Lord as to what she was supposed to do, not what she was commanded to do. She told me that as a child she loved the Lord Jesus, and that and had been educated in a circle of godly friends and a godly home. But what a difference it had made in her life when she found what it is to receive the deeper blessings of the Lord. I said to her, you have from your childhood lived in a a bright, godly atmosphere. What do you think is the difference between the life you then lived and the life you have entered into now, that you've surrendered your entire life unconditionally? Now, the Lord does not love us unconditionally. He gave his life no matter what we've done. But then after we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a lot of conditions that the Lord has. But we're to love the Lord without any with all conditions, okay? Our entire life, unconditionally to the Lord. Many of these people said the very first answer was simple and bright. This woman said, it is just this, she said, the personal fellowship of Jesus. That made me different than just somebody that says they're saved. Now that's worth it all, is fellowshipping with Jesus. This must be the beginning of the deeper blessings. Some people would forsake everything for the sake of their religion. Like you see people forsaking everything for Catholicism, Buddhism, Shintoism, and all the other isms. For a false religion, they'll give up everything. Multitudes have done so. Multitudes have given up everything to be with a false religion, even Satanism. Some would forsake all for the sake of their church. The church, there's no church that died for your sins and shed his blood for you. We're the church. We didn't die. It was the Lord, the head of the church, that died on the cross and shed his precious blood so that there could be a church. Amen?
Amen.
Some people would forsake all for the sake of their fellowship with the their fellow men, like the different unions, or I saw on the many times where there's a bunch of bikers. That's their family, the bikers. They do that, but that's not going to do them any good when they stand before God. Amen?
Amen.
What good is that, fellowshipping with men? But that is not what I'm talking about. And that is not what is wanted, demanded by God, by the Lord God Almighty. We want to forsake all for the sake of Jesus, to let him come into our lives and take us over. In other words, the possession of our hearts is what he wants and commands of us. Is your life one of tender personal relationship or attachment to Jesus and of joy in him? Do you have a lot of joy fellowshipping with the Lord, or do you have joy in the things of this world? I'm not asking if your love is perfect, because certainly we're not perfect when we just received Jesus. Serving the Lord is a process. We have to grow in grace, or in other words, grow in power, God's power. So if your love is perfect, you can't have it right away, but you have to grow until you receive the fullness of the stature of Christ. So I'm asking if you can say honestly, it is what I am striving after. It is what I have yielded myself to. Because if you're yielding yourself to being filled with Jesus, it'll happen. You're pressing towards the mark. It is what I long for above everything else. Jesus Christ must have me every day. Oh, I feel some warring. I feel some conviction in the air. Jesus, the Lord, the Christ, must have me every day and all the day long. For instance, the disciples of the Lord were men who had been led to despair of themselves. At the beginning of their 3 years of instruction from the Lord, they had to give up all that they possessed in order to have this relationship with the Lord. But it was only at the end of that time that they began to give up themselves. They had given up their nets and their houses, their friends, and their jobs, and that was all right, but that isn't giving up yourself, is it?
No.
It isn't giving up your heart. But throughout the 3 years, the self was so strong in them, how often it was that Jesus spoke to them about humility, humbling themselves before God. Not man, but God. And if we're going to be humbling ourselves before God, we are going to not absolutely, we're not going to join in with men at all. But they could not understand him. Many times, time after time, there was much contention between the disciples as to who is going to be the chief. Who's going to be numero uno, number one? Even the night before the crucifixion, they were still arguing about it. They had never given up self. It was obvious to all how little they lived in the spirit of Jesus. But Jesus taught them and trained them to do that. He revealed to them time and after time what the sin of pride is. Pride always goes before a fall. And how proud can you get when you reject God Almighty? In other words, you're placing your nothing life to reject God's something life, incredible life. And what the glory of humility is. So that when he did upon the cross, when he did die upon the cross, they died a terrible death as well. He told Peter, the impetuous disciple, how he would deny Jesus three times. Don't you think that in all of the sorrows of those 3 days, from the crucifixion day to the resurrection day, that the deepest and the bitterest was this shame at the thought of how they had treated their Lord? Then Peter learned to despair of himself and the other disciples as well. At the supper table, however, self-confident, self, he had been all, although all men shall be offended in the Lord, yet will I never be offended, Peter said. But Jesus took him down with him into death and the grave. And then Peter knew that there was in him indeed absolutely no good at all, no good thing. He had learned to despair of himself. He combed his life over and over after that, how wicked he was. Some of you may say, I think I have given up all for Jesus, my property, my home, my friends, my position, and I think I do love him. You think? But I still have not received the blessings. There's trouble in paradise, amen? But, dear friend, are you willing that God, with his searchlight on your spirit, your soul, your mind, would uncover in you how much there is of self? Your self-will and self-trust. Take, for instance, your judgment of people. How you seek just what you like and what you think is right, and have not yet learned to study the humility instead of gentleness. The humility. Okay, well, if you're studying gentleness without, you can't without humility. So, humility, and if you intend to be gentle, of Jesus. But if you're not, well, this is self. You work for him. You try to do good, but all of the time it is really your own work. Only your own working. You are doing the work, and you look to God to help and bless you when you're doing things your own way. But the Lord says he wants to live his life out in you. And he doesn't want to live your life out in him. He wants your life to be dead. But that cannot be to help to do things your own way and be blessed by the Lord. God must first bring each one of us down into the place of death. Do you know what the death of Jesus means? What it means is this, that Jesus said to the Father, in effect, here is my life so precious to me, my life which has been sinless. I have yielded to you in life. But now I am going to yield it to you in death. He went into the grave, saying, "Into thy hands I commit my spirit. I give away my life. I entrust my spirit unto you." And you know what happened, because he gave up his life so entirely, every single bit of his life unto death. Do you have that spirit in you? If you do, you're going to resurrect on the last day. But if you don't, you won't. Every single bit of his life unto death, so that our souls could be saved. He sank into the thick darkness of death and the grave. God raised him up into a new life and a new glory. This will be a life that he would never die again. And this glory would never go away. It was death that was the secret of the resurrection. How can anything be resurrected from the dead unless it's dead? Amen?
Amen.
So we have to die in order to be resurrected. So that's the secret of the resurrection. And Christian, if you are a Christian, please understand that if you want to be filled with the Spirit and the risen life of glory, you must first die to self. The apostles were men who had been brought to an utter self-despair, men who had lost everything and who were ready to receive everything from God because they wanted to go to heaven, as I'm sure you want to go. Nobody wants to go to hell and burn forever. So they received everything from God in heaven. Wonderful. Amen?
Amen?
Wonderful. And another thing, here's the fourth thing. These apostles were men who had actually accepted the promise of the Spirit from Jesus in faith on the night before the crucifixion. Christ had spoken to them about the Holy Spirit more than once. And when he was ready to die, then ascend, he said again, "Ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Not many days hence, and this was after he blew the Spirit into them, into their nostrils. So they had the Spirit of God in them, but they weren't filled with the Holy Spirit until the day of Pentecost. Acts 1:5. If you had asked those disciples what that means, I am sure they could not have told you. They had no conception of what would come. But this was after the Lord blew the Holy Spirit into them, into their noses, that they too took the word of Jesus. And if they had any need for talking or arguing during those 10 days, I'm sure they would have said, quote, "If while he was on earth, he did such wonderful things for us, now that he is in glory, he will do wonderful things, infinitely more wonderful." And they, because he never lived in them at that time. He was with them, but not in them. And they waited for that infilling of Christ, the Comforter. You also must accept this promise by faith and say to the Lord, quote, "The promise of the filling of the Holy Spirit is for me. I accept that, the hand of Jesus." You may not understand it. You may not feel anything as you would like to feel about it. You may feel weak and sinful and far from Jesus, but you may say, and you have a right to say it. Quote, the promise is for me. Are you ready to do that? Are you ready in faith to trust the promise in the Word of God, the love of Jesus? Are you ready to receive the love of Jesus? I'm sure there are believers, Christians, who are still struggling to find out where they are lacking. They possibly have yielded themselves most humbly and fully to Jesus, who absolutely do love him, who have sought to humble themselves in the dust. But the problem is that they have not learned to simply say, he has promised me these things, and he will do it. He will. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I mean, he promised it. Amen?
Amen?
And he will do it. Have you done that yet? Let me say, for your encouragement, that when you receive a promise from God, it is worth just as much as a fulfillment. Everything that you receive from God is fulfilled. If you receive it while you're asking for it, you have it. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says. The promise brings you into direct contact with the Lord. Honor him by trusting the promise and obeying him. Don't be in such a hurry to say, well, I don't have time to trust the Lord for the promise and obey him. What? You don't have time. What's more important in the entire universe than receiving the promise of God? Amen?
Amen.
And if there is any preparation that you still need, have the Lord shine a light on it. Pray to the Lord. God knows all about you and it. Okay, he knows all about it, and if there is anything that is to be opened up to you, ask him. He'll do it. You know, ask and you'll receive. He'll show it to you if you count on him to do it. Trust the promise. All of his promises and say, this fullness of the Holy Spirit is for me. It's for everyone, really, but it's for you. It's for me. Amen? Say that to him. That's very important. The last thought about the disciples is this. On the strength of that promise, they waited in unison. They waited in united prayer in the upper room. Say it hasn't happened in 5 or 10 minutes. No, it didn't happen in 5 or 10 minutes or even 15 minutes. But everything that God has is worth waiting, you know, contending for. Amen?
Amen.
And if it doesn't come right away, don't get upset or impatient. There's nothing in this world that's more important than waiting for the promise of God and contending for it until it comes. You might wait for a half hour or an hour. Man, I contended for the Holy Spirit for a long time, 3 years. Some people get it right away. I don't know why I didn't, but okay, so you have to wait until you get the promise. That is what we must do, and you must do. Wait on God in prayer. But be praying at the same time when you're praying or fasting. They waited. They waited until they were filled with the Holy Spirit, the 120 of them. Amen?
Amen.
They prayed in faith, believing with one accord. All of them were contending for the same thing. And they knew because God promised it. Jesus promised it. Amen?
Amen.
Prayer and supplication went up to God, mingled with praise and faith. They expected that they were going to receive the promise. They weren't sitting there like a bunch of stiffs. They were praying. Amen?
Amen.
You can walk into some churches and they say, we're praying, and you could hear a pin drop. Our primary lesson is God in heaven to do something. And that's to keep your promise. I believe it. I pray that I could stress this point, this very important and most essential point of just this. I find that Christians, and I have found it in my own experience, who read and understand and think and wish and want to claim and want to take. You want to take and want to get, and yet what they desire eludes their grasps. And why? Because they do not wait for God to give it to them. Too many. I got to get to work. I've got to eat. It's time to eat. That's more important than receiving the power from God. You're not supposed to look to a teaching or to what you think and understand with your carnal mind and the idea of receiving blessings from it. Look to God and God only, and expect God to do it. He's the only one that will and can. Can and will. And ask God to do something. Your thinking is not going to do anything for you. It is not enough to believe your beliefs. I find that many people mistake their personal faith toward the blessing that faith is intended to bring. By faith, I am to inherit the promises. Brothers and sisters, trust the Lord, trust God, then look to Him to give the blessing. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's His promise and a commandment as well. Do you think that God would promise you something and then tell you, you got to do it, if it wasn't going to happen? It's not a maniac. You are if you think so. Okay? Mm-hmm. Humble yourself. The thing I want to do, my purpose, is to do everything in my power to put before the people in this world the actuality of the blessedness of a life filled with the Holy Spirit. I clarify the way in which the disciples were led to receive the blessing of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And now we have to look at the blessedness in being filled with the Spirit. It may please God to make our desires to so strong and to make us see so clearly. This is just what I need. That's all you need. I cannot live any longer without being filled with the Spirit, being baptized with the Holy Spirit, that He may bring me to receive more than I ever expected in my entire Christian life. He is a God who is willing and able to do anything above what we can ask or think. Find that scriptures in Ephesians 3:20. The clearest illustration of the joy and blessedness of being filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is seen in the wonderful change which Pentecost made in the lives of the disciples. It is one of the most wonderful object lessons in the entire Bible. The whole Bible, those 12 men under Christ's training for 3 years, and yet remaining apparently at such a distance from the life they were meant to live. And then all at once, by the blessed incoming of the Holy Spirit, made just what God wanted them to be. They weren't that way before, because Christ wasn't in. Many times He'd be up on the mountain praying while they are going across the sea. But now He's with us all the time. Amen? Because of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit. So we can look first at the change that Pentecost brought into the disciples' relationship with Jesus. During his earthly ministry, Jesus could not live within them. I'm just saying that. Because he had not become the life-giving spirit yet. He had to live outside, separated from them. Yet the Lord was with his disciples. He was with them some of the time. He was very near, very loving, and yet, I'll say with deep reverence, what a failure Christ's teaching was to them until the Holy Spirit came and entered into them. Jesus taught them humility. Time after time, he said, "Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Yet right up to the end, they were still contending which of them were the greatest. Christ did not conquer their pride. This was not due to lack of living divine teaching. Why was it then? It was because of one thing. Christ was still outside them and could not get into their hearts to dwell as he does today. It was impossible until after the crucifixion and resurrection. The time had not come yet, and thus they had only the divine, almighty, blessed Redeemer, Savior, alongside them, but still outside them. And how different they were from him. It teaches us that no outward instruction, even from Christ himself or his words in Scripture, can bring us the true and full blessing until the Holy Spirit works himself into us. But what change took place on the day of Pentecost? "At that day ye shall know that I am in you, and the Spirit is in you." What does that mean? Christ in us? Amen. Just like we are reading in a room. No, we are in the room. We have to be in the room. Amen. You know, we can read about being in the room, but we're not there. But we can go out of it again and not suffer anything by it. I can leave the room and go elsewhere. The room and I are not vitally or organically connected. However, the Lord Jesus came to be. I say it with reverence. Part of those disciples to fill their hearts and thoughts and affections. And what Peter and James and John had was Christ alongside them. You and I have in a much larger measure if we have the living Christ. After Pentecost, they did. And if we have him within us, we have more than they did when they were walking with Jesus before Pentecost. And how did that change come about? Well, by the Holy Spirit. "At that day when the Spirit comes, you shall know that I am in you, for the Father will love you, and I will love you, and we will come and make our home, our abode in you." Isn't that what your heart longs for? Okay, I'm at the out of time here, and so I'll continue this mañana, tomorrow. But right now, let's get saved. Ask the Lord by his Spirit to enter into you. Come into you by the Holy Spirit. Save my Lord and my God. Have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all of my filthy former sins away in the precious blood you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. All that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Therefore, I know you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I am saved. Now just raise your hands, praise and thank the Lord, and praise him every day in the Holy Spirit, all day long. Okay, now share and tell them four different ways to receive a copy of program number 384.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
All right, praise the Lord. This is Rural Pastor Tony Alamo, and the Holy Spirit is actually the sweet chariot that pulls us around this earth the way that the Lord wants us to be pulled, and he also pulls it up into the kingdom of heaven. And here I am with J.D. Sumner and the Stamps Quartet. Make sure to tune in tomorrow for another episode of the instructions on how to receive the Holy Spirit. Here we are singing Swing Down Sweet Chariot.
Why don't you swing down, sweet chariot, stop and let me ride. Swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride. Rock me long, fine and easy. Well, I got a home on the other side. Why don't you swing down, sweet chariot, stop and let me ride. Swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride. Rock me long, fine and easy. Well, I got a home on the other side.
Well, Ezekiel went down in the middle of the field. He saw an angel working on a chariot wheel. Wasn't so particular about the chariot wheel. Just wanted to see how a chariot feels. Why don't you swing down, sweet chariot, stop and let me ride.
Swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, fine and easy. Well, I got a home on the other side.
Well, Ezekiel went down and he got on board. Chariot wasn't bumping on down in the road. Zeke wasn't particular about the bumping on the road. Just wanted to lay down his heavy load. Why don't you swing down, sweet chariot, stop and let me ride.
Swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, fine and easy.
Well, I got a home on the Father's side. Well, I got a Father in the promised land. Ain't gonna stop until I shake his hand. Rock me, Lord, fine and easy. Well, I got a home on the Father's side. Why don't you swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride.
Swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, fine and easy.
Well, I got a home on the other side. Why don't you swing down, sweet chariot, stop and let me ride.
Swing down, chariot, stop.